The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Greek word for windstorm means hurricane. To be classified as a hurricane by our standards of measurement, the wind needs to be traveling at a speed of 74 miles per hour, slightly faster than the speed limit on I-55 South. That's the speed of your average curveball. Or 11 miles per hour faster than the world's fastest cheetah. The most dangerous hurricanes have winds traveling at more than twice that speed. The disciples and Jesus are clearly in great danger. The disciples' boat was probably a typical small wooden fishing boat. The wind howled in their ears as the feeble craft was tossed violently on the sea. Each wave that crashed over the bow was bigger than the last. 2 gallons of water replaced every gallon that they bailed out, so that the boat was already being swamped. As the gunwales rode beneath the raging waters, the disciples were certain that they were going to die. If the storm didn't kill them, the Pharisees and the Herodian dynasty certainly would. It was no secret that Jesus' ministry was causing waves. He became famous overnight for casting out demons and healing the sick. This alone might not have rocked the boat. But then, Jesus began forgiving sins. He began keeping company with sinners and tax collectors, unrepentant offenders of God's law who showed absolutely no shame for their wrongdoings. He began to bend the Sabbath regulations, teaching others to do the same. Many, including his own family, were convinced that he had gone out of his mind. Influential people were persuaded that Jesus was possessed by the devil. The disciples found themselves caught in the squall that was unleashed by Jesus' words and actions. The controversy surrounding him threatened to capsize their ministry at any moment, dragging them down into the watery depths. In their despair, they became intensely aware of their need for a Savior. Many of us have been feeling despair as we have seen the faces of children separated from their families along our southern border. It's not difficult to imagine what Jesus might say or do about these events. Many religious leaders across the political spectrum have cried out against the ways that zero-tolerance prosecution is affecting the children of families who are trying to circumvent the immigration system. Yet family separation is not the only danger to the health and well-being of these children and others like them. In his speech to law enforcement officials in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on Thursday, June 14th, Attorney General Jeff Sessions explained how our previous immigration policies have unintentionally endangered the very children we are crying out to protect. According to Sessions, the number of families trying to cross the border illegally has risen by a factor of 5 since 2013, with 75,000 family units currently being detained. Sessions suggests that anyone with a child was welcomed, even if they were not truly that child's parent or legal guardian. This, he suggested, led to an increase in child trafficking, child abuse, and gang recruitment, not to mention the number of children subjected to the dangers of an illegal border crossing by their parents. I have to admit that my own imagination comes up short on how Jesus would minister to these children who are suffering in the shadows. As followers of Jesus, we can not only be concerned about families who are suffering in the detention facilities, we also need to be concerned about the unintentional victims we create by policies that we had hoped would be gracious acts of welcome. At moments like these, it seems that Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. It seems like he fills us with the fiery passion of the Holy Spirit only to let us founder in the overwhelming winds of the resulting storm. Our limits mock us. We become intensely aware that we can never fully understand the situation or even understand the consequences of our own actions. Ultimately, the storm has one effect on us, just as it did on Jesus' disciples. It causes us to despair of our own ability to create meaningful change, and it drives us into the arms of our Savior. The disciples held out against the storm as long as they could. But it was no use. They were going down. Perhaps in desperation. Perhaps in frustration. The disciples shook their sleeping Savior awake. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" At once he woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." They heard Jesus command silence like this only once before, when an unclean spirit came shrieking out of a tormented man. Immediately, the howling winds of the hurricane died, and the boat was gently rocked on the sea like a babe in her mother's arms. You would think that the disciples' fear would have died away with the hurricane, but their fear only seems to have become greater. Jesus broke the terrified silence of their salvation. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" In that moment, they saw Jesus in a way that they had never seen him before. And they were overwhelmed with awe, asking themselves, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Without their work, without their aid, they had been saved. Several years later, the Pharisees and the Herodian dynasty would finally get their hands on Jesus. The one who rebuked evil spirits and hurricanes would be stretched out on a cross, as one under the judgment, the righteous judgment, of God and of government. For 3 days, everyone thought that the matter had been settled. The squall unleashed by Jesus' words and actions had been silenced by his death. And life on the boat could return to normal. Then, something unexpected happened. The wind of the Spirit kicked up again. Jesus was raised from the dead, welcoming all who have faith in him to make port in God's kingdom. God saved us without our work and without our aid. That much was settled on the cross long ago. Yet this message is still profoundly relevant for our lives today. Jesus opened the port of God's eternal kingdom to us, limited and ignorant as we are. We have been given radical belonging in a community where our past does not define us. It does not define our future. And our ignorance cannot overcome God's purpose for us or for our world. As recipients of such divine and unmerited grace, how can we deny the same radical belonging to any who seek refuge within our borders? As limited and ignorant sinners, how can we jeopardize the safety and the well-being of the innocent by ignoring good immigration procedure? I think it's clear that we have a responsibility where immigration reform is concerned. If we weren't aware of it before, we certainly are now. Faithful reform can not only address the wave of emotion that we are currently riding, it must address the entire storm. Through the eyes of faith, we will see that the wind driving this storm is the wind of God's Spirit. Let us humbly acknowledge our own mortal limits and continue to strive for peace and for justice. There are many different ways that you can get involved with immigration care and reform, even as soon as you go home from worship today. You might consider signing up for the ELCA Advocacy Network at elca.org/advocacy. This network draws on the experience of Lutheran congregations and ministries around the world to advocate for public policy changes that will advance the common good. Now, if God is not leading you to be part of that network, it's okay. You might consider taking one of the actions recommended in the network's guide for ELCA members, and I will pass this out as soon as the sermon is done. You might even consider making a donation to Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Or we as a congregation might pursue becoming a welcoming congregation according to Amparo guidelines, that is, accompanying migrant minors with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunities, Amparo. The wind is blowing. The storm is brewing. But fear not, you have been saved.